It's great to be part of that singing and worshiping group of folks, but thank you. Can I invite you to turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 3, and those verses from 22 through to the end of the chapter, which Barbara read for us a few moments ago. John chapter 3. Maybe it is just me. There are times at home when I question things and I say to the girls if they're around, say, is it just me? Or, and they look at me and say, yeah, it is just you, Dad. It is you. It is just you getting older. It is just you not understanding things. It is just you. But I have to ask, is it just me or are celebrities unrecognizable? People who their images are flashed up on our screens, we see them doing things and involved in things, and you think, who are you? Why are you a celebrity? And how does that happen? And I'm at a loss sometimes to understand how. And at my attempts to keep up with technology, I would Google the odd name here and there, and it still doesn't make any sense to me as to why they might be a celebrity. But they've got, for some reason, that even that short window, that so-called 15 minutes of fame, which turns them into a celebrity. And they seem to know how to capture and hold the spotlight. They seem to know just how to remain center stage and hold on to that. Celebrities, they're all around us. If you read the story of John the Baptist, you could come to the conclusion, here's a celebrity. There's crowds following him. People, no matter where John goes, out into the wilderness, this John who was a bit of a bizarre figure, if you remember, dressed in sort of camel hair and eating honey and locusts, possibly the fad diet of the day, I don't know, but it doesn't sound terribly appetizing to me. But a bit of a bizarre character, but he attracts these huge crowds because of what he's saying. Crowds gather in to see him, to listen to what he's saying, and he's upsetting the authorities. Maybe that's why they go with him. He's upsetting the authorities around him. The religious authorities are a wee bit uneasy because this guy, John the Baptist, is not really towing the line. He's leading people in a different direction, and the religious authorities are more than slightly upset. He even gets under the skin of Herod, the ruler. And if you read back through that, you realize how effective he was at really agitating Herod and his wife Herodias. If you want to become a celebrity and have your 15 minutes of fame, then one sure way of doing it is to have a slanging match with the king and make sure you've got a crowd who witness it. This was John the Baptist. Can you imagine what our press would have made of somebody like John taking on the monarch? Talking about morality to our leaders. Looking them eye to eye and questioning their morality. Can you imagine what our press would make of that? This is John. John certainly was in the spotlight. There's no doubt about it. As you read through the Gospels, you see John in the spotlight. The question is, what will he do about it? How will John respond to being in the spotlight? How will he respond to being center stage? How will he respond to being a celebrity of some sort? So his disciples come to him. Verse 26. Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, Jesus, that man who was with you, the one you testified about, the one you were pointing towards, the one you were a signpost to, Rabbi, he's baptizing, and everyone is going to him. What should we do? What do you think about that, John? What do you think about this other person muscling in on your act, John? How do you feel about it? What are you going to do? And John is very, very clear in his answer. Verse 28, he simply says, I am not the Christ. It's not me. I'm not the Christ. I'm sent ahead of him. And if you go back to John chapter 1, again and again in different ways, we're told, John is not the Christ. He's not the Messiah. He's not the promised one. He's not the one you've been waiting for. He's simply a herald. He's simply one who comes to prepare the way for Jesus. So in chapter 1, John simply says, or we're told that John is not the light. Jesus is the light of the world. That he's not the Christ. That he's not Elijah. That he's not the prophet. That he's not even worthy to undo Jesus' sandals. John is so clear. He is very clear. John's purpose in life, his vision was to prepare the way for Jesus, to point towards Jesus. There was no room for the big head of a celebrity. His function was simply to point towards Jesus. And to help us understand that, and to help his disciples, John looks at a wedding and says, at a wedding, you've got a bridegroom. Bridegroom who's there waiting for his bride to arrive, but you've also got a friend who stands beside him. We would call it the best man. You've got this friend who stands beside, and the bridegroom gets all the attention. The bridegroom's the one that the cameras are pointed to. They watch the sweat on his brow as he waits and waits and waits, wondering if his bride's going to turn up. The attention's on the bridegroom. The confetti's thrown at him. Nobody really pays very much attention to the friend, to the best man, because that's not his function. He shrinks into the background. And the bridegroom and his bride are the center. And that's where John is. John doesn't see himself as the center of all that's going on. John always points to Jesus and then shrinks back into the background. His whole ministry is to direct people not towards himself, but away from himself to Jesus. He's not a celebrity. He's a servant. And how does John respond when the focus is moved onto Jesus? Well, listen to what he says. Verse 29. That joy is mine. The joy of seeing this bridegroom celebrated. The joy of seeing this bridegroom acknowledged. That joy is mine, and it is now complete, because here is Jesus. My whole life, my whole ministry has been given towards getting ready for Jesus, and he's here now. My joy is complete. And then this amazing prayer, to which I keep going back. He must become greater. I must become less. That was John's heart. Jesus becomes greater, he becomes less. Jesus gets put center stage, and John shrinks into the background, into the shadows. It's not about John. It's about Jesus. A celebrity possibly would have looked for ways to increase their own personality, to increase their own part of what was going on, but not John. John decreases. And the voice of Jesus now replaces the voice which is crying in the wilderness. And John's joy is complete because Jesus has come. How does John react? John stands aside for the one whom we're told is from above and above all. He points to the Messiah. There are a lot of things around us that we would like to fix. Things that we would love to be able to sort out, to put right, and to fix. The broken heart. Those who, for whatever reason, are hopeless. Those who struggle desperately with addictions. Those who are cold to the good news of the gospel. Those who are outcast for whatever reason from our society. There are lots and lots of people and situations, and we would dearly love to be able to fix them. And we do our best. But here's the honest and hard truth that we all struggle with. We cannot fix them. We cannot fix them. And that is a hard truth. But it's an honest truth. But something that's equally true is that we know someone who can. John knew that he wasn't the Messiah. I'm not the one that God promised to you. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the Christ. I'm not the one who is going to be the Savior of the world. That's Jesus. And John steps back. Jesus, the Word made flesh, the one who is from above, who is above all. Sometimes we get in the way. We try our best to make a difference. And then when it doesn't work, we declare that it is impossible. This person will never be changed. That situation will never be turned around because I can't do it. We would love to be able to fix it, but because we can't fix it, we say, you know what, it's never going to change. And we deny the truth of the gospel, that in Christ all things are made new. We need to decrease and, like John, prepare the way for Jesus. We need to pray for him to increase in our lives and in the situations around us so that his power is seen. Now, we have our part to play. Don't get me wrong. We don't just sit back and wait for something to happen. We have our part to play. And that is signposting Jesus, proclaiming the good news of Jesus by what we say and by the things we do. And by the way we live our lives, we have our part to play in all of this, but that part is not being the Savior. Like John, we should stand aside and rejoice when we see Jesus at work. Like John, we should be prepared to shrink back into the shadows and let Jesus take center stage in people's lives. John knew from early on that it wasn't about him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. That's what Advent is for, to help us prepare our hearts. Not only to celebrate the birth of Christ, but also to prepare our hearts for that time when he will come again, when he will have center stage. Verse 28, John makes it clear that God sends John not to be the Christ, but to go before and to point to him. And that is our role. On our bulletin every week is printed our mission statement, to know Christ and lovingly to make him known. It's there every week. But sometimes, because it's there every week, we just miss it. We don't see it. But it's about Jesus increasing and about us decreasing. It's about Jesus being center stage and us sliding away. It's about knowing Jesus and lovingly make him known. That's our role. Our role is to invite Jesus into every life. Invite Jesus into every situation, because he is the one who can turn them around. He is the one who transforms lives. He is the one who is the Savior of the world. And so one of the questions we need to ask ourselves is, as we prepare for Christmas, are we getting in the way or are we showing the way? How will you celebrate Christmas in a way that points to Jesus? I hope by now you know I'm not a killjoy. I thoroughly enjoy all the excitement and the fun and the eating that goes on around Christmas. But for myself, I have this concern. How does that help me point towards Jesus? How does everything we do in church help other people to see Jesus? Showing the way or getting in the way. And we need to find often just simple ways of pointing to Jesus. It may be simply taking a little bit of time and just praying. It may be taking a little bit of time and reading our Bibles. It may be taking a little bit of time with someone and saying, in whatever way you can, Jesus loves you. Are you getting in the way? Or are you showing the way? And in case we think this is not important, this chapter finishes with this verse 36. Whoever has the Son has eternal life. This is not a gift that will be broken or run down or worn out a few days after Christmas. This is eternal. Whoever has Jesus has eternal life. But the flip side is, whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. This is why it's important. This is why it's so vital that we become people who show the way rather than getting in the way. Because whoever has the Son has eternal life. Not sometime down the future, but the Bible says whoever has the Son has eternal life here and now. But whoever doesn't have the Son, God's wrath remains on him. He won't see life. That's why it's important. So my question to myself and to all of us is simply that question. Am I getting in the way or am I showing the way? May God grant us the grace to be signposts, to have the humble heart of a servant, and to give Jesus his place in our own lives and in every situation around us. Dave.
The eternal focused on a moment. The voice becomes a listener. The word becoming flesh and bone, close enough to whisper. Then beyond the world's comprehension, moves right into the midst of her. Heaven stoops to touch the earth, close enough to whisper. Close enough to touch her, close enough to kiss her. Close enough to be broken, close enough to whisper. For God so loved the world, he emptied himself to visit her, came down to walk beside her, close enough to whisper. The eternal focused on a moment, the voice becomes a listener, the word becoming flesh and bone, close enough to whisper.
That's what Christmas is about. The God who in Jesus has come close enough to whisper to us. We stand together.